Let's just pray together once more before we look into the Word this morning. For title's sake, the message this morning is just entitled, Who Am I? Thank you, our Father, again, that we're able to gather and open your Word this morning. Thank you, dear God, that you know us. Lord God, that a false face, a false front, mask, doesn't hide who we are from you. Lord God, I just pray this morning that you'd give us the grace to be honest. And as we look into your word, Lord God, that we truly would be thankful that you love us. Amen. I want to read, actually, I'll read the verse, but I want to look at just a part of one verse this morning. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 19, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praises and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Now, those of us who have studied the Scriptures and understand and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the Jews, and He's coming back, and as we read through Zephaniah and Zechariah and through the minor prophets, we would understand that one day they will recognize Him whom they have pierced. There was a day when Christ was about to be crucified when they said, His blood be on us and on our children, and we know that the gospel would come to the Jews from men of other tongues and other lips and so on, and that individually that Jews can be saved, and there are people who are part of the body of Christ who would be of the nation of Israel this morning, but one day Israel will be gathered together. They will be restored, and the promise that was given to Abraham will be seen on the earth. But I became interested in a part of this verse, and it's just this: I will save her that halteth. And I discovered as I looked and thought about this passage of Scripture, somebody who halteth is someone who is lame. It's somebody who limps. Has a struggle, maybe from an accident, maybe from birth, maybe from an infirmity, from a sickness, whatever, that took place. And I'm unable to walk properly anymore, so I'm halted. And in a sense, when you look at Israel, who God had chosen and placed on this earth and made the nation, she halteth today. But one day that nation will be glorified and Christ will sit on the throne and the nations of the earth, where the Jew is a byword and who's made fun of, will be exalted with their Messiah. I was thinking this morning as I looked at a bunch of papers and things that I've been reading over the last week in preparation for this message, and it was just sort of a disheveled mess. This morning I encountered a homeless person. And one of the things that came to my mind helped me with the title of this message, and I hadn't had two sentences out, and I had made the decision that I wasn't going to tell this man my name. And I didn't ask his. Why? Because what could I do? What difference if you know who I am or what my name is? I'm the same as you. I hope you are thankful this morning for what you have. I was born naked. I was born lost. I was born condemned. I was born damned. I deserved to spend eternity in hell. Somewhere in the course of my life, I met Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And I thought to myself, I'm sitting here having breakfast together, two nobodies with eternity's values in view. And I'll tell you, I learned a lesson a long time ago, and I was reminded this morning that if you think you're somebody, best thing I likes about ye is the back of your head going through the door. Because God expects of us a broken and a contrite heart. What do I have to offer? What do you have to offer? You might be the great and wonderful whoever you might be. But keep in mind, maybe you're lame. And I got thinking about this morning, and that's why I brought Mort out. I want to read something to you, or I'm going to look at a couple of things that was written by a fellow by the name of Neil Anderson a number of years ago, and I've been studying through a book and I'm doing a lot of heart searching the last while. According to Scripture, I know exactly who I am. But sometimes in the world picture and the pilgrimage that I find myself on, I don't know exactly where I always fit. What if I were to ask you today and who you are? If I were to say to you, who are you? If you were to say to me, I could say, I'm Tony Blair. No, that's not who I am. That's my name. That's what people call me. That's what I'm recognized by when I'm in the crowd or whatever, when you're talking about me or you want me. You would call me by my name, but my name is not who I am. And I can tell you, I'm not who I was 10 years ago. I'm not who I was 20 years ago. I've been changing. A little over 30 years ago, I was lost. And then I was born again. I was changed. And if you study the Word and you understand the Word, as believers, we grow. Unless we're lame. It's kind of interesting, those of you who work wherever it is you work, if there were someone who was working with you and they were to have an accident, maybe they were no longer competent, you wouldn't be long in telling them, you can't work here anymore because of whatever it is that's wrong with you. I once knew, well, I still know him, I know a man who was an industrial mechanic and he lost his hand in an accident. He was really frustrated and he's still angry that they won't let him work at his trade anymore. He can't get a job. Why? Because he only has one hand. Well, maybe it's because he's dangerous. He's the only person I know ever have been water skiing and had his hand come off. He's a good guy to have around at the corn boil, though. You can just reach in there in the pot and do whatever you want. Listen, we need to take a look at ourselves. Who are we? No, that's not your name. I could say that I'm a pastor. No, that's not me. That's what I do. That's my job. That's my calling in life. That's what the Lord has me do, but that's not me. I could say I'm a Canadian. I am a Canadian. But that's where I live. How about this? I could say, I'm a Baptist. Whatever that is. No, that's a denominational tag that was put on a belief system that I've embraced. I believe that goes along with the Scriptures and so on. I could tell you that I weigh 230 pounds, and you could say, really? Slim. How come I didn't call you Slim? But that's how much I weigh. That's not who I am. Spurgeon kind of put it like this, and that's another reason I brought Mort out this morning. What if I were able to take you and chop off your legs? Would you still be who you are? You would be who you are without your legs. Your life would change drastically. But would you still be who you are? You know, your body is not who you are. It's the tabernacle that you've been given to live in and so on. And I got thinking, and I think it's important for us as believers to know who we are. Someone has said this, to quote, I'm not sure from who, But is who you are determined by what you do, or is what you do determined by who you are? So think about it this morning. And I got thinking about this idea as I was reading about the halt being saved. And I became thankful in my heart this morning, because one of the problems when you take a look around at the church from a spiritual point, the church is full of lame Christians. You might be wealthy, you might be successful, you might be great, and you might be wonderful, but you're doing nothing for God. One of the discussions that I had with a young man the other day, and I believe this to be true, we're in a sad age when the women, and I appreciate the women in this church, but the women are carrying the load in the church. The men, I don't know what some of the men do, but it's a problem to me when the men who used to come to prayer meeting don't come to prayer meeting. The men who used to say that in order to be a trustee or a deacon in Bethel Baptist Church, you need to come to prayer meeting, those same guys aren't coming to prayer meeting. You wouldn't sit back and let your wife do the work that you need to do, whatever it is, whatever your job is. We take pride in certain things, and we're in a difficulty today because there are so many lame men. We need men who start to come up and pick up the load and start doing the work in the church. The apostles were men. The patriarchs were men. And I appreciate the ladies and what they do. But I want to tell you, if I were to say to you next week, well, we need to form a new deacons board, I guess I'll have to ask some of the women. You would look at me and say, what's wrong with you? And I could respond, who are you? You need to ask yourself the same question. I need to ask myself the question, who am I? And I'm speaking not just, sure, I can find your name in the phone book if you don't have an unlisted number. Usually, and if your name's not there because it's unlisted, it's because you're important, right? But what I'm talking about is in the light of and in front of and underneath in submission to a holy, just, creator, sovereign, righteous God. Who am I? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Why does the Lord keep me here? What's my purpose? What does God want me to do? And it gets interesting, and then I have to ask myself, for some reason have I become lame? And I was thinking about this the other day because I woke up one day with a sore knee, and I kind of been hobbling around for the last little while, and I made the comment one day, you know, I feel like I'm not worth killing. It's just, it's feeling a little bit better. If it doesn't go away, I'll have to go to the doctor and he can do whatever they do to fix sore knees. But some of the stuff that I would like to do, I've been finding difficult to do. And then I started looking at and thinking about, what if we were to take our bodies and some of the infirmities that we have and picture them in a spiritual sense? Are you fit spiritually? And the problem with the whole business there is just this, that sometimes we find, whether it's lack of nutrition or lack of exercise or not taking care of ourselves properly, we can become lame. Our text this morning speaks of the fact that the Lord will save the lame. There's another portion of Scripture that I would like to look at and think about a little bit this morning. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, actually. Acts chapter 3, we'll begin to read in verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now here's a picture of a man who was born lame. And every day he was carried by someone, by his friends, to the gate of the temple so people coming in could help him. He depended on the mercy and the generosity of the folks who went into the temple to sustain him. He was unable to work because of his lameness. Then it says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, I want you to think about this passage just for a minute. Peter looked at him, he looked back. They were looking at each other, and the idea is, he said, "Well, I don't have any money, but what I have, I will give." I have a question. When was the last time you said something like that to someone? When was the last time you looked at somebody who had a difficulty or had a problem, somebody who was outside of Christ, they were lost, and what you offered was the person of Christ? That's one of the difficulties that we have. That's the problem with the church. That's the problem with this church. That's the problem with us as believers. We stumble along lame and we fail to offer that which will help. We have lots to offer. It's Christ that men need. People without Christ are lost. They're lost forever. They go to a literal hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth throughout all of eternity. And if you're here and you're a believer and you know Christ as your Savior and you have that, what did Peter offer this man? He offered him, well, it wasn't silver and gold. In verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Then immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now, normally we would look at this miracle and we would say, isn't it a wonderful thing that after the day of Pentecost, the apostles had received power and that they could heal? And this man needed healing, and he was lame. The problem is, I look today and I look at the church, and it's the church that needs healing. When I look out here this morning, when I look in the mirror, it's me that's lame. It's you that's lame. How do I get over the lameness? How do I get to the place where I function properly as a believer, that I would go in the highways and the byways and in the world and reach those who are outside of Christ? And I found it interesting as I looked through the scriptures. Zephaniah said that the lame would be healed. Here's a situation where Peter and John encountered a man who was lame. And he entered into the temple leaping and jumping and praising God. Truth of the matter is, if you're here this morning and you're lame, I would love to see you turn to Christ, but please don't jump and leap. I would have to ask you to be quiet if you got too excited, but nonetheless, I looked at this and I thought, this is a problem. What exactly is the problem? And I thought about what we're like. Anytime that you open God's Word and share a message such as this, I look out and I can see people sometimes rifling through their Bibles, and you're coming up with the flip side of the coin that I forgot to say this, and I know how the whole thing works. I've been in this business for a long time. And it's interesting. It's like, you know, why would somebody mention this about our legs? Everybody knows that these bodies don't go to heaven, right? Everybody knows that we have to have a new body before we get to heaven. But you know what we forget about? Your soul is not fit for heaven either. You need to be born again. You need to be changed. That's why David said, "Create in me a clean what? Heart." And that's why the Lord said, "I will give you a new heart." We need to be changed in our hearts. And it's a bad thing for a believer to be lame in his heart. Every once in a while, we need something to jolt us into reality. My mind went back and I thought about it, and I was sitting looking at the scriptures and thinking about how things are. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, the Lord expects us to give what we have. And I thought, the other day I was reminded, my mother went to be with the Lord almost 3 years ago. And I was thinking how over the last little while I've heard people talk about certain ones who have had or have cancer and, you know, either they're dying or they're doing well and all this. And I thought, wouldn't it have been interesting if somewhere along the line when Mom had cancer, if there was a cure for the cancer she had. And in our family and amongst friends and so on, there would have been any number of people who would have done anything they could to bring the cure. But there's one thing that gets interesting. You have to take the cure. The cure is no good unless the cure is applied and the one who somebody has to receive it. When Peter and John talked to this man, he didn't say, "Oh, if you don't have any money, get out of here." Right? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, Israel is going to be glad to be restored. And I go thinking about how the Lord restores things. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't do a shoddy job at anything. He does it right and he does it well. I was thinking to myself as I looked at myself in the mirror of God's Word. In an instant, I can be healed of the lameness that's in my life spiritually. I just have to recognize and confess. Do you know, if you're here this morning and you're a believer and there's something lame about you, there's some idea that you're great and wonderful and no one knows it yet, well, the idea is just this. Do you know, in an instant, like the lame man who could jump and leap, who had never walked, that we can be restored. From where I sit, at least, I believe that we need revival in our little church. In order for us to experience that revival, I have to be revived. And you have to be revived. And my understanding is revival is contagious. It's just this. If I were to ask you this morning, who are you? And you started to explain to me who you was. Are you lame? If you're lame, you can be restored. If you're not, we ought to be out there making sure that those who are lame are restored and those who are lost are saved. Isn't it great how the Lord works and how he sees us and he didn't leave a stone unturned? When God created and when God restores, he restores fully and he restores completely. I believe what's needed in the church in this day and in this age, Laodicean age, the very last days before the Lord returns, we need a revival. In order for that to take place, we have to reach the point where we would give our lameness to the Lord and let him restore us. Probably enough said. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes that we've had. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And dear God, as we look at that little nation of Israel that's been persecuted over the years, that's been mocked over the years, that's been hated, driven out and so on, that you would suggest that the halt would be saved. Lord God, as we look through Scripture, we can see a number of times where the lame have been restored. And Father, if we want to carry this to the immaterial part of our beings, that maybe we would be tired of limping through our pilgrimage as believers, and Father, we would ask that you'd point out to us those areas that need restoration and that give us the grace to ask, to confess. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are and how you work and that you know us. Ask, Lord, that these few simple words would be applied to our lives and we'd receive them in Christ's name. Amen.